Global deception. Global deception. The second page, just read over that. You can read over it tomorrow or later, at a later date. Did everybody get one of each? Did you get yours? Okay. Now, the page that I gave you on this global deception is just an outline. I have probably 24 pages. So this is just a brief outline of the information, and I want to make sure that everybody can hear my voice. So if you can't, move closer to the speakers. And we know that the Bible teaches us that this major revelation, that all of this information here, we know the Bible is 2,000 years old, somewhere close to that. And so we know that this information was written, inspired by the Holy Ghost, the Bible. And but we know that the book of Revelation teaches that John is to seal up the revelation until the time of the end. And so we know that God said that these revelations, these seals, would be sealed until the time of the end, which is our day. We are living in the end time. And in the end time, God chose to reveal or to open up those seals of the book that we can understand, that we can see what is taking place, that all these mysteries that have been taking place throughout the ages, amen, is now, amen, understood by the church, not by any other generation. There were several other generations. We don't have time to get in that, but amen, the church went through a great persecution. The church went down through the dark ages, and the church, amen, came up through the reformers in different times of history. And so the focus wasn't on revelation, it was on survival. So now, as we are living in the end time, and I want you to read this with me very carefully, Matthew 24, verse 22-24. Now, your page begins with 2 Thessalonians. We're going to get there, but I am going to begin because this is one of the major keys. I want to begin with this portion of Scripture so you can write on the top of 2 Thessalonians, Matthew 24, 22-24. And let's read that together. I want you to read with me in your Bibles. I want you to see it for yourself. I want you to get this yourself. It isn't just something Brother House is reading to you. I want you to get it. So when I say it, then it's going to make sense. So Jesus said, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, period. But for the elect's sake, he said, those days shall be shortened. He said, then, verse 23, if any man will say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, let's back up and read that a little slower. Jesus said, Matthew 24, which we know is, amen, prophetically speaking, it was into speaking to the generation of the apostles that they were going to go through this persecution, but it also parallels our day. And so, Jesus said, in the last days, in those days, as the apostles asked him three questions, what shall be the sign of thy coming? And what shall be the sign of these things? And what shall be the sign of the end of the world? Three questions. He answered all three of those in Matthew 24. We're keying in on this important verses here. He said, except those days should be shortened, there shall be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, the elect, who is these elect? The elect's sake, that is the real apostolic Holy Ghost filled church. That is those Jesus' name, baptized in Jesus' name, filled with his spirit, called out church. the real church, Holy Ghost filled church. Now that is not the world. It is not the World Council of Churches. It is not denominations. So we must realize that. So many times people have sifted over this and said, oh, you know, that this is going to be real easy to see. But you're missing the whole point. He said, the real elect's sake, he would shorten the days. Then he said, if any man will say unto you, lo, here is Christ. Now we have Christ. It does not say Jesus. Okay? We have to understand that because there are many Christ. Christ means anointed ones. It does not say, lo, Jesus, here is Jesus, or there is Jesus. Believe it not. So it says, lo, here is Christ, or there is Christ. Believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ or false anointed ones. Everybody say anointed ones. False anointed ones, not false Jesuses, but anointed ones, genuine anointed ones. And false prophets, a prophet is he who speaks by divine inspiration, a leader or guide to the people of God, anointed leaders, teachers, but bringing a false message. And they shall show great signs and wonders. Listen, great signs and wonders. Insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, the church. Now, their focus and their purpose is not to deceive the world. The world is already deceived. It is not to deceive the church organization. It is already deceived. The purpose and the whole point of it is to deceive the very elect. Now, do you get that? The devil's not after who's already deceived. He's already got them. He is after, amen, the church, the real blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled, baptized in Jesus' name. That is who he is after because he has already deceived the rest of the world. How can this be? How can this happen? We know that the Bible says that God sends the rain on the just and the unjust, Matthew 5, Hebrews 6. Amen. That speaking in tongues, interpreting prophecy, they do many wonderful works. Jesus said that they shall do many wonderful works, cast out devils, prophesied in my name. Amen. Knocking at the door, saying, open up unto us. Have we not done many wonderful works? And Jesus said, ye deny me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And so we see how that, amen, we have to understand that this is so powerful but it is out to deceive the very elect church. Amen. Matthew chapter 13, how can this happen in the midst of the church? Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told parables of the sower, how, amen, that the devil came along and he sowed seed, the wrong kind of seed, in the midst of the vine. And up sprang these tares, up sprang up these ones who were evil, and the enemy hath done this. So we see that there is a true vine, there is a false vine growing together, and it looks so close to the real, amen, that it will, if possible, deceive the very elect. So they would be anointed, they would be so close to the same, they would be so similar. 2 Thessalonians, we'll go there, chapter 2, verse 3 through 9. Now this is what the scripture says. Let no man deceive you by any means. What did Jesus' warning say in Matthew 24, even before the scriptures we read? He said, take heed that no man deceive you. That was his warning. A time of great deception. Take heed that no man deceive you. Be not deceived. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above that is all called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, we have to key in on that. Amen. The same thing. Signs and wonders. Signs and wonders to deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. To deceive the world? No. The world is already deceived. To deceive religion? No. The religion already has their creeds. They already have their beliefs. They already, amen, already are in that, amen, deceptive state. Amen. And have went off into their creeds and everything else. Now, read on in Revelation chapter 12, amen, the dragon which was cast out, that old serpent. We know who the serpent is, called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He is a deceiver. He is and has deceived the whole, I know this is hard to grip, but he has deceived the whole world. Amen. From the east coast to the west coast, from the north to the south, the whole world is under the deceptive force and power of the devil. Except one group of people, and that is the elect, the church, amen, of the living God. And so, amen, he was cast out and his angels were cast out with him, who deceiveth the whole world. Revelations 13, 7 through 10. It was given to him to make war with the saints. Power was given unto him over all kindreds, tongues, nations. That's globalism. All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. Now, we have this, amen, a lot of times, amen, Bible scholars and Bible studiers have this pegged, amen, as some future tense, amen, prophet, a antichrist and false prophet who is going to step out of the scene onto the stage, a person. And who is going to, amen, rule the world politically. And there is a false prophet, a antichrist, who is going to step out on the scene, who is going to rule the world spiritually. So we have a political, and that's the way it has always been. The world has been ruled by a political leader and a religious leader. And so, amen, through movies and Hollywood and different books, that, amen, the religious world has been taught, amen, to sit back and wait on the stage for some, amen, key man, men, two men to step out onto the stage, amen, that would, amen, usher in this here, what we are reading. But don't you think that the devil is smarter than that? The devil is wiser than that. He's smarter than that. Amen. He has been working. It is not say, amen, at the end of the world that this would happen. It says the devil, which has deceived the whole world, present tense, past tense, it's already happened. So he has already deceived the world. That's why we have world calamity. That's why we have, amen, world hunger. That's why we have evil dictators. Amen, when, amen, other countries would send support and tons of food to feed those hungry people. The evil deceived dictators would steal the food right out of their own people's, amen, grips and cause their own people to die. They would, amen, they would gas their own people. And this world is full of evil. This world is full of evil leaders, and everybody always wants to blame God. It ain't God, it's the devil. Amen. And he is in action, and he is working overtime. Amen. To destroy, to kill. Amen. And his, amen, he is coming to a head. He knows that he doesn't have much time left. Amen. And he has one last group of people that he has got to try to deceive, and that is the church. Amen. He has already conquered the world. Amen. We know the Bible says very clearly that the devil is the god of this world. Amen. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them who are lost, whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. Amen. And give them the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We know that the devil came to Jesus tempting him, and he said, amen, as he took him up into a high pinnacle. We have scripture for everything I'm saying. He took him up into a high pinnacle and showed him, amen, the power, and he showed him the glory, and he showed him, amen, the power and the fame and the riches, and he said, all of this is mine. And he said, I will give it to you if you will worship me. Hello? Now, notice the focus is what I just said. Amen. What has churches, amen, drawn away from and went to? Now, the majority of churches is worship, 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 worship. Less word, less word, less word. Less preaching, more worship. The focus, amen, everything is on the lights shows and the smoke machines and, amen, the fog machines and, amen, it's all about worship. But who are they worshiping? Okay, so follow along with me. It says that Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, verse 8 of Revelation 13, and all that dwell upon the earth. Now, this is Bible. All means all. Huh? All that dwell on the earth shall worship him, except those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the elect. That's the church. Now, we sung that song tonight, Amazing Grace, and open up the eyes of my heart, Lord. Perfect, two perfect songs. Thank you, Sister Miranda. Amen. Amazing grace. By the grace of God, you are sitting here tonight and you're listening to me do this Bible study. By the grace of God, amen, you're going to learn and see and realize, wow, that's grace. God could just, amen, not give us his grace and let us go off into this hocus pocus, amen, and be blinded just like the world. Revelation 13, verse 11 through 12, I beheld another beast. And I'm going to just skim through these scriptures. You can read the whole verse. He had two horns like a lamb. A lamb. Lamb, always symbolic of Jesus Christ, a lamb. He was the Lamb of God. Amen. But he spake as a dragon, which we know the dragon is the serpent, the devil, the ancient snake, the dragon, the devil. And he exercises all power, the first beast before him, causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship. There it is again, worship. It's all about worship. Verse 13 through 14, he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, let me read through it all the way. And he doeth great wonders, so that he, the man, maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beasts. He doeth great wonders, so that he make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them. The fire that comes down is a fire not to destroy something,
Not the fire to tear up trees or to burn up cars or to burn up houses or lands or destroy something, but it is a fire that comes from heaven to deceive people. Now, the fire, amen, that we are acquainted with. Now, if the whole world is already deceived, and we know it is, you talk to people about the truth, you talk to people about Jesus, I'm not saying everybody ain't going to be saved and God ain't going to bring people to the truth. Amen. But I'm telling you, amen, I just read the scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if our gospel be hid, is hid to them whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds. You talk to people about the truth and they'll say, I'm saved. They'll say, I'm born again and I'm on my way to heaven. I may be going a different way than you, but we're all going there. And amen, everybody, amen, you, and so the world is deceived, but there is only one group of people left on the entire planet who is not deceived. But the Bible says, if it were possible, that he would deceive the very elect. Now, you know that the very elect is not going to be deceived, amen, by some fire, some guy standing out on CNN news and calling fire down from heaven, amen. The church is not going to be deceived by that, because they're going to say, amen, we've been taught, amen, by, amen, our organization, you know, that is the Antichrist. That's a false prophet, amen, and he's calling fire down from heaven, and we know who he is. Right? Do you get it? So what kind of fire coming down from heaven would deceive the elect? Put that in your mind. Satan's objective is worship. His objective is not the word. Follow with me now. I'm going somewhere. His objective is not the word. His objective is worship. So these big praise teams, and they're bringing in the African, amen, the African dance modes, and they're bringing in all these other countries, they're bringing in, amen, you can see them on these global, these TV, even Pentecostal, amen, big mega churches, they have their praise teams, and they have their praise teams with all variable types of worship. They dress up in the garb, and they'll get out there and they'll do the African dance. They'll have another group come in and they'll sing another song of worship to a different tone or beat, and they'll be dressed up with the colors, and they'll have on the different, you know, worship, amen, pom-poms or whatever you know, swirly things, whatever you want to call them, and they're, amen, all about worship. Okay? So Satan's objective is worship, not the word. We understand the power of worship. Follow along with me. We understand that there is power in worship. You want to see, amen, I have seen firsthand, amen, before I came to Christ, I found the devil, amen, and I found him out there in the nightclubs, amen, I was a roadie for a rock band, amen, and you want to talk about somebody who worships, this world worships. You go to those concerts and they worship. They dance, they slam dance, they throw people, they catch people, they get involved in their worship, and they are worshiping, amen, but it is a different spirit. So worship, come on, worship. We understand the power that is available in worship. Amen. The different countries, the sound of drums, the sound, the witch doctors, and as a matter of fact, Brother Keith Nix, who now is a missionary over to Peru, amen, who was a pastor of Brother Floyd Varela's, amen, and we met his brother Kelly was on the stage at Little Rock, amen, Nix. And so, amen, they will not allow drums in their church because they know the power of drums in the witch doctors' countries, how that when they beat those drums to a certain beat, amen, all kinds of demons start flowing, amen, and people start all kinds of weirdness going. So they don't want, amen, to entertain any kind of spirit. So there is power in worship. Now, why is the devil so, amen, do we really understand worship? Do you realize worship is the submission of yourself? Do you realize that worship is the surrender of the soul to a Lord? Are you listening? Worship, amen, speaks of citizenship and identity. What are you identifying with? Citizenship, surrender. Now, Satan's objective is the entire world, global religion. That is his objective. There is a world religious leader, but there are world religious leaders. There are many of them. All different kinds of denominations, beliefs, and religions of the world. Wiccans, Buddhas, Hindus. All kinds of global world. I'm millions. I'm not talking about just, you know, one here, one there. We have this little Western world ideology, you know. We're not on an island. This is big. There are still, amen, countries who worship the gods of the crocodiles and throw babies to the crocodiles today. So the power of worship and the objective of the devil is a global worship, a global religion and denominations. And you know what that includes? Pentecostals. It includes Pentecostals. We're not exempt. As a matter of fact, who's he got his bullseye on? Us. Who is he going after? Us. Who is the dragon making war with? The woman. Who's the woman? The church. Us. He has a sight set on us. Not on the rest of the world. He's done got them. Amen. But he is out to deceive, if it were possible, the very elect. So we have got to wake up. We have got to sound the alarm. We have got to be watchmen on the wall. And you're going to understand when we get through this Bible study why Brother House and other, amen, other watchmen that are on the wall, amen, we are very sensitive to what is going on and what is taking place. This is not something that we just overlook and that we just sit by on the sideline, on the bench and say, oh my, it just looks good. It looks wonderful without, amen, something checking our spirit, because the Bible says ye have an unction from the Holy One. Amen. Come on. I said we have an unction. Something isn't right. Amen. Something don't smell right about this. Something don't sound right about this. Come on. Help me out tonight. Amen. So the devil's objective is worship. It's not the word, but it is worship. Isaiah 14. Amen. These scriptures, Lucifer fallen from heaven. You can research it later. Amen. He said when he was kicked out of heaven, I will be like the Most High. Who is that? Christ-like. I will be Christ-like. Luke chapter 4. Here we go. Quoted earlier. The devil took Jesus up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Devil said, all this power I'll give you and the glory of them if thou wilt worship me. He wants to be worshipped. Help me, Lord. He wants to be worshipped. Christians have often wondered just how a complex system of an antichrist of the devil would dominate the entire world. How could people so easily be deceived to accept and worship, amen, this man of sin? Amen. And that this is paralleled. Now I want to parallel this to what mainstream Pentecostalism has been taught about the false prophet and the Antichrist, enveloped in an individual man. Okay? But we're going to broaden this, and this is going to be what Jesus said was anointed ones, multiple. Christ is plural, right? There's an S on the end. There shall arise false Christs. So, it will be a gradual process The system has been around for years, conditioning the minds, activities, and thought processes. We got some college people in here, thought processes. This is familiar to people who have been in college within the last 20 years, 30, 40 years. Thought processes. That's psychology. Okay? So, the system has been conditioning minds and activities and thought processes of the world's citizens. Many philosophies of this generation are a part of this system. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. Now, are you with me? Does that sound like a global, worldwide revival? If Jesus said, except the days are going to be shortened, nobody's going to be saved. Saved is salvation. Does that sound like a global, world revival? What did the other verse say in Thessalonians? A great falling away. Does that sound like a great worldwide revival? Kumbaya. Amen. We're all, the whole world is going to get saved. Are you with me? So you got two different messages going on. And so, except those days should be shortened, no flesh should be saved. If any man will say, here is Christ, or there is Christ, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs, and plural, which means anointed ones, and false prophets who speak for God or divine inspiration, leaders, anointed leaders and teachers of the people that shall show great signs and wonders. Insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Now, what signs and wonders are we familiar with? If the devil's out to deceive us, amen, are we familiar? What is familiar to us? Frogs? You ever seen an outpouring of frogs? No. You ever seen an outpouring of lice or an outpouring of locusts or an outpouring? No, it ain't those kinds of signs. We heard about Moses doing those signs in the Old Testament, right? So that ain't down our aisle. That isn't going to deceive us. We're going to be like, you know, that's just some magician. Hocus pocus. Amen. But what signs and wonders are we familiar with? Great signs. Looks good. Sounds good. It will look, Jesus said, it will look so much like the real move of God. It will even look scriptural. It'll look so much like the real. It'll have biblical correctness. It's just a very slight, unnoticeable twist. Now, a lot of you guys may or may not have done any following or research. Back in the early 1900s, the Great Miracle Crusades, God began to pour out some real miracle crusades in America. Okay, and also known as Azusa Street Revival, some of those, amen, it began there, Azusa Street, the Holy Ghost was being poured out, and then there were several people that came on the scene through those outpouring of God's Spirit. God has His miracles. He poured out the gifts of the Spirit, and one of those are healing and miracles, okay? So back in the early 1900s, there were healing miracle crusades, okay? Now, some of those people had the real deal, the real gifts of the Spirit, real gifts of healing, miracles, amen, and they would lay hands on people, and they would get healed, and eyes would be open, and wheelchairs, they hang them on walls, and we know that you can Google all the miracle crusades, and you can look at different ones throughout history, amen, but as soon as that real, amen, move of God began to sweep through America, a false move came right in behind it back in the Catherine Kuhlman days, and the charismatic move was birthed right behind the real deal, amen, and so, amen, false. And they used it to deceive people and talk people, and they started prophesying Jesus is coming in 1972, and you better sell your house, and amen, you better sell all you got and give it to the church. For real. And some of you, Sister Wilson's shaking her head. She knows all about it. People sold everything that they had. They gave it to the false prophets, and they lost everything that they had. The false prophets got rich. Jesus didn't come back, but they lied and they deceived, and people went for it. So it's got to be something that looks good enough to deceive the elect. It looks good, sounds good. Scriptural, biblical correctness with just a slight difference. Amen. Can anybody in here, if I had two pieces of gold? Now you answer this to me. If I had two pieces of gold, amen, could anybody in here look at those two pieces of gold and tell me whether they're pure or not? Why not? Huh? Bite out of it. Now I put that in there for a reason. Pure gold is defined in carats or fineness. A carat is 1/24th part of gold pure by weight. So 24 carat gold is pure gold. To find a percentage of gold in an object when the purity is stated in carats, multiply the number of carats by 100, divide by 24. And so if you had a piece of gold that was 18 carat gold and a piece of gold that was 24 carat gold, could you tell the difference by looking at it? Oh. That's how close this is going to be. Because the devil knows. To deceive the very elect, that's how close it's got to be. A lie can be 99% truth with only 1% error. And unless you are tuned in to tell the difference, you will not know the difference. Now, I know you all don't know me well enough yet. Sister Angie does. She's been with me for 24 years. I am not trying to teach this Bible study to scare anybody, but I am teaching this Bible study out of urgency because it is happening. And so, I have done my research. I have done my homework. And so, a new kind of revolution has quietly overtaken the world. Unlike any foreign military invasion, this revolution has conquered without any weapons. Working under the admirable guise of goodwill, looks good. It's good for everybody. Looks good. New Age movement doubtless has ushered in this world prominent system. While many of their concepts and goals seem admirable, closer examination reveals the anti-God system quietly but efficiently weaving its web around unsuspecting society. I am presenting to you that the New Age, and I don't have time to go into all that, is not nothing new. It has been here since the beginning of time. It's the same philosophy that the devil deceived Eve with. It's the same crooked, amen, satanic deception, amen, that he has used, amen. The same satanic deception, and I'm being recorded, that Lucifer used to try to conquer heaven. And he was capable, do you hear me? He was capable of taking a third of the angels. Now, them angels are in no comparison to me and you. Angels are powerful. Angels were made, amen. How can I say that? They were made directly by God. We were made by our parents, but we were made by God. But, you know, they weren't made how we were made. And so, amen, they were created even more directly connected to God than what we are. We're connected to God by our spirit and our soul. Amen. But those angels were connected to God. They lived in his house. And Lucifer was capable by his same philosophy. Amen. You read over there in Isaiah and you read over there in Ezekiel. Amen. He was wise. He was smart. Lucifer, amen, had greater wisdom and smarts. Amen. And he was capable of deceiving a third of the entire army of God. So that is powerful. And it's the same system, the same satanic deception that he has used from the beginning of time. But now it has expressed itself in our day as called the New Age movement. And so they, society, those who are known participators, there's a lot of people who are known participators in this New Age philosophy who know it. And then there's those other people who are all a part of it and don't really know it and don't have no idea who they're worshiping. But those who know who they're worshiping, amen, one of the attractive symbols, amen, of this New Age movement is the rainbow. And it's not, amen, the world has used the rainbow. Now they're using it for, you know what, Fruit Loops. But the rainbow to us, amen, has covenant meaning with God and about water and destroying the world. But to New Agers, the rainbow illustrates their bridge between man and Lucifer, who they claim is the oversoul. New Agers place small rainbow decals in their automobiles and businesses as a signal to others in the movement. Many, however, use this rainbow as a decoration, unaware of its occult meaning. I am talking about cultism. I am talking about satanism. I am talking about all of those things, and this is real. They hope to establish a global revival. This is the New Agers' part. And this New Age era, there will arise great anointed ones that will replace other religious teachers and will become leaders around the world. This New Age movement of such influence could successfully promote this system, hiding behind the guise of biblical truths, not knowing the blended ideas from mystic religions such as meditation and mind control. Using the term rebirthing, they teach that an individual can really find himself by tapping into the power from within. A day of separation is here. Many church denominations are going to and have embraced this goodwill system, including Pentecostals. There has been leaders, amen, who have departed from conservative movement and begin to write books, amen, and not even realizing that they have ushered in, amen, and now there are churches and leaders all across the Pentecostal movement now who are reading these wackos' books, amen, and that, you know, we don't have to do this, we don't have to do that, we don't have to have walls, just like, amen, brother, amen, Tuttle preached, that wall, amen, let's move the wall, let's move the wall of protection, amen, the walls and standards and holiness and things, amen, they have torn down those standards, amen, of protection, amen, what we preach and what we teach is to protect us. We don't open up those doors and just let any old philosophy in here. Amen. Sunday, I was battling a spirit. Amen. Many of you didn't even realize it was happening, but I did. Why do you think I gave you that handout? So this goodwill system, including Pentecostals, amen, claiming we are all brothers. One body, a great end time global revival led by the anointed ones. Can you show me anywhere in the scripture where a true prophet of God was beloved? Huh? I got more scripture on that too. You'll see, amen, in the book of Kings, you'll see other places. Look at Elijah. He was hated by Ahab, was the king.
And we know that Elijah, amen, the spirit of Elijah was upon John the Baptist. He was hated and got his head cut off because he told the king like it was, you can't have Philip, your brother's wife's wife. So 2 Kings 22 is a good place for you to read later on. Amen. And where that two kings, amen, had their 400 prophets and they were going to go out against the enemy. And they had all their prophets together. And they prophesied, oh, go in and possess the land. And Jehoshaphat said, ain't there another prophet that we can inquire of? And the king said, yeah, Micah, but we hate him. He don't like us. And every time he prophesies, it's nothing good. So a real prophet ain't going to have an office in the United Nations. A real prophet is not going to have a position. But the Bible says that this new age movement will be ushered in by anointed ones. Great anointed ones that will replace other religious teachers and will become leaders around the world. A new movement, such influence could successfully promote this system, hiding behind the guise of biblical truths, not even realizing what's going on, including Pentecostals. Jesus said, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. A great time global revival led by the anointed one, so close, now listen, so close to the real original church that it will deceive many. It's quiet in this place. So close to the original church that it will deceive many. Many well-meaning Christian believers will de-emphasize doctrinal truths. Now, what was the devil? What was his focus? Worship. Many well-meaning believers will de-emphasize. That don't mean that they won't have them, but they're going to put less emphasis on doctrinal truths, saying God is bringing us all together in unity. When you hear this from many major denominations, be warned, the world is preparing to embrace this new age system. Once this system comes to universal power, amen, which it is here so cleverly, he will dominate the world, the economy, and all of its power. Now, what did Thessalonians say? Let's back up 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Where is this deception going to take place? In the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. After the working of Satan, all power, signs, and lying wonders, the temple of God. Where is the temple of God? It ain't this carpet, drywall. It ain't this building. We are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay, so the beast is going to enthrone himself in the temple of God. Amen. And in the throne room, amen, saying, I am God, and shall deceive many. So, I had done some research, and I do know that I'm not that eloquent, and I'm butchering this up, but I'm getting my point across. So, these next items that I am going to share with you are actually taking from the New Age training. And you're going to hear some things that are very familiar. Some things that you have heard yourself. Sound good, But just listen real closely what I say. Okay? This is taken right out of their training. If you think that witches and you think satanic worshipers are walking around riding brooms, you're nuts. If you think they're running around, amen, doing potions and all this weird stuff you see on these weird things, you've missed it. That ain't how it works. So, these powerful processes or philosophies contain in a principle called the law of attraction. They begin their training with these philosophies. And it begins with gratitude. Gratitude, thankfulness, brings more into your life. Do you know where this has crept into the Pentecostal church? Let me tell you right now where it came in at. It came in under teaching health, wellness, and prosperity. These big prosperity philosophers and books and all of this teaching the people how to be millionaires and how to be rich and how to gain all of these earthly blessings and treasures and everything. Does that even make sense in the church? It don't to our mind. But listen, gratitude brings more. Now I want you to think of a magnet, because this is exactly how they think. Brings more into your life. Visualize it. This is Satanism. Visualize it and feel it. Feelings of having it now. Visualization works. Visualization works. As you think, so shall you be. Play the picture in your mind. See it in your mind. You can hold it in your hand. Write your script. Believe it enough and it will happen. We were all born. Now some of these things are so close to even scriptures that we can pull up. Don't you think the devil don't know what he's doing? You can pull up scriptures like confess the Lord Jesus in your mouth and believe in your heart and thou shalt be saved. Truly believe is in the Bible. But the devil has took believe and has turned it into a magic spell. Believe it enough and it will happen. We were all born to be superstars. I got to change some of my preaching. I mean, God wants us to be blessed. God wants us to have. But I'll tell you what, our blessings come from the Lord Jesus. Believe it enough and it will happen. Now these quotes and these sayings are from people who are training people all over this world, making millions of dollars, having these wealth metaphysics, quantum physics, professors, psychologists, hypnotism. People, professionals, are have a training video of all of these phrases, which are New Age training. I didn't make this up. See it in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. Write your script. Believe it enough, it will happen. We were all born to be superstars. Release your thought. When you have inspired thoughts, you have to trust it and you have to act upon it. The universe will answer your wish. Magic happens with the laws of attraction. If you want abundance, focus on abundance.
Psychology and the new way you think. Life is meant to be abundant in all areas. We are creators of our universe. If you know this knowledge, play with it. Bring it into your life. Love yourself and you will love others. You can change your life. You can heal yourself. Energy flows where attention goes. Energy flows where attention goes. There's more than enough power. If you believe it, you can see it and act from it. It will show up for you. Speak it, receive it. Speak it, receive it. Now, please, I am not making this up. This is not a joke. These people who put this training video together are well-known millionaires. And they receive their riches and their millions by the law of attraction. They are known New Age worshipers. They have written books, created businesses, even Chicken Soup for the Soul. The dude is a New Ager. He's in this training video. So, speak it, receive it. The universe will bring it to you. Bless it and be thankful for it. Now, I could say a lot of names right now of TV evangelism that use this very stuff. And a lot of famous TV, famous people on TV. I can mute this thing. I will. The universe will bring it to you. Bless it and be thankful for it, empowering and sharing with others. Everything in the universe is energy. Quantum physics, philosophy, God is energy. Same description, spiritual energy. We are all connected. One energy field, you are eternal life. Listen, it begins off looking real harmless, and all of a sudden now watch where it's going to go. You are eternal life. You are God manifest in human form. You have God potential and power. All power is from within and is therefore under your own control. Focus on what you want. Now, they ain't going to say those phrases. But I'm telling you, the same philosophies that have crept into the Pentecostal movement are very familiar. You have God potential and power. Focus on what you want. You are the author of your own destiny. Outcome is whatever you choose. Power within you is greater. The power that is within the world. We are unlimited beings. The power within us is unlimited. Your purpose is what you say it is. Your mission is a mission you give yourself. A new era, unbound potential. This is quantum physics, quantum healing taught in our universities throughout curriculum all over the world. Luke chapter 4, the devil said, all of this is mine, and the power will I give to you if you will worship me. Now, the research, people have stumbled across this and have realized that the same New Age philosophy, which isn't new, it's ancient from the beginning of time, amen, has been used by the most richest prominent people in the world. The trainers of this New Age philosophy video said, is it strange that The world's riches and the world's most powerful people are about 2% of society. The world's richest people and the world's most powerful people are about 2%. Now, people, which this information's on the internet, so I guess I can't be held liable for it. So Google it. It's on there. It's where I got it from. So sue them. So it has been used by the most richest prominent people in history. Plato, whoever that person is. Plato. Ludwig Beethoven, Mozart. Sigmund Freud, Victor Hugo, Charles Dickens, Charles Darwin. Benjamin Franklin, Shakespeare, Charles Lindbergh, Alexander Graham Bell, King Edward, H.G. Wells, Thomas Edison, Einstein, Jay-Z, Will Smith, Steve Harvey, Oprah Winfrey, Jim Carrey, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Denzel Washington, Richard Greer, Lady Gaga, Michael Phelps, Conor McGregor, the MMA world champion, are all New Agers. And this is their philosophy. They saw it. I saw his testimony right on the YouTube. Conor McGregor. How did you become the world champion MMA fighter? He said, I saw it. I focused. He started using his New Age theory. I called it from the universe. And the universe empowered me. And so the satanic New Age philosophy has entered into the church, sitting in high places, infiltrating teachings and curriculums, and has taken over many of the apostolic Pentecostal church movement. This is not, amen, the philosophy of how to build a mega church. This is New Age philosophy, but it is wrapped in a package called How to Build a Mega Church. The people that have used this to build the greatest churches in the world, including Joel Osteen, who they have, amen, who they have examined him, and he uses the same thing. He wrote a book with Oprah Winfrey, amen, the same New Age philosophy that he uses, amen, the same words, the same system, the same everything, that a man could arise up out of the earth and have the biggest church in the whole entire world, all because of his phrases and because of his, amen, his philosophy, amen. Amen. And all of these positive thinking, positive outcome, positive, amen, it has crept into the Pentecostal church. Blessings, prosperity, and positive. Let's not say anything negative. Let's say positive. And amen, all this and that and the other has taken over. Amen. And so, amen, recently we were in a service. And let me tell you something, this is not my first experience. Me and my family left a church recently because we were faced with the same systematic approach. And I am by no means, I would not stand myself behind a pulpit and put myself in a position of being heresy, of being an outcast, of being, you know, I could be excommunicated from the Pentecostal world, but so be it. So, these exact excerpts were taken from a recent meeting we were in. Now, first, review this. All the other nights, all the other services. Now pay attention. This is where you're going to get it. All the other speakers, Holy Ghost prophets, they preached. Did they not? They preached. And they preached with anointing. And they preached the Word of God. And they preached the Word of God, which brought real conviction and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Okay? But this person, first off, had to be credited before he could come up and do his thing. They had to first build him up. Did they not? I ain't making this up. Did they not first build him up and lift him up? Now, a real preacher don't need nobody to build you up or lift you up, or unless you're, you know, unless you're some weird far out, you know, to where, you know, we know this guy and, you know, he preaches truth. That's about it. Get up here and preach. And his own ministry and his preaching will speak for itself. So they lifted him up, put him on a platform, amen, and so he had to be credited, built up, before he could take the stage and begin his scripted program. You know when something is scripted. So it began with all of these places. This country, that country, this place, that place. They were not having revival. They were not receiving. Places where miracles and signs were not happening and were not being received. What did Jesus say? Signs and wonders. And say nothing about preaching. Now note the ministry. But when this person went, disregard. Now listen, we're in this church together. Revival does not come in a one-man package. It comes in a place where people are praying and seeking God. Revival and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost happens because of a hungry people. You have people go to those countries where those people are fasting, praying, walking for miles and miles, and those preachers don't have to hardly say anything. And God begins to move in that place because of the people. It is not the person. Do you get it? Now listen. Disregard that there were Holy Ghost-filled pastors and preachers, interceding workers, waiting for a real conviction. Now that would offend me. Now, if we're sitting here and we're praying and we're fasting and we're seeking God and we're doing everything that we can here at the Redbud Church, amen, we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And you know what? God's going to honor, amen, our sacrifices and our, amen, just like I preach Sunday, how bad do you want it? Amen. God is going to honor us. Amen. And so here we are, amen, doing our part, and some shady character comes in here with a black briefcase, walks up here, and like he's got a circus in his briefcase, and he's going to do it all. Honey, you better just get off the stage and go somewhere else, because, amen, because of a praying church and because of a sacrificing people, amen, the body of Christ brings a move of God, not the person. Amen. And so, amen, disregard that there were Holy Ghost filled pastors and preachers. You know what? Amen. How many of those missionaries who gave and dedicated their lives, amen, probably just packed up and went home? You know what I'm saying? All the sacrifice and the torture and the putting their life on the line, everything that I have done don't mean nothing. And pretty boy Floyd comes over here. Lord, forgive me. Trying to have the right attitude. So, Holy Ghost-filled pastors, preachers, interceding, waiting for a real conviction move of God, saints who had been there for years working, preaching, and teaching. Evangelism, revival, and great moves of God do not happen because of an individual, but because a church begins to seek God. And when the altar is repaired through real repentance and sacrifice, amen, through the preaching of the word, brings forth conviction, amen, which brings forth real repentance, which brings forth a move of God, amen. That is how God moves. That is how it has always been. Amen. It took a Jonah to go down to Nineveh, a wicked city. Amen. Go down there to a wicked city. Amen. And Jonah had to go down there and he had to preach. He didn't go down there and say, okay, I'm here. Now we're going to have, amen, this miracle crusade. Amen. He said, God is going to destroy this place unless you repent. So, because of certain people is what makes these certain great end time anointed ones different. Did you catch that? Because only certain people is what makes these certain great end time anointed ones different. What is it that is different about them? What is it that was different about him? Now, I ain't saying that someone couldn't come on the stage that could preach a silver tongue message and do the same thing. But you got to watch the key words and you got to watch the system. It's the man's style
our systematic approach. Now listen, it was the man's style or system, the systematic approach. Psychosomatics. Because of his style, and because of his systematic approach, because of what he did differently than what everyone else had did, what was different? It was his systematic approach. Then, are you with me? Then there were numbers and scores of people who received and believed. They have a curriculum built for this system. It's not something that they just come up with as the Holy Ghost led them to say it. They have a curriculum for the systematic approach. It is a great new spiritual awakening. Numbers and statistics of self, the man. Did Jesus or the apostles ever build themselves up? Anybody answer that? Did Jesus or the apostles ever build themselves up? There was a man came to Jesus one day and said, "Good master, speak to my brother that he deliver his goods, share his inheritance with me." And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good?" Peter and John went up to the temple in the third chapter of the book of Acts. It's the hour of prayer to pray. And a lame man sitting there, lame by the gate. Amen. There. Amen. Peter and John looked upon the lame man, said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And there, amen, they were thrown into jail and they said, "By what power, authority have you done this?" And Peter said, "It ain't my power, it ain't my authority, it ain't even my holiness." Amen. It's not built, Peter did not build himself, he did not say, "It's because that I am the great apostle Peter and nobody else could have did this until I came down here to the house of prayer." Do you get it? He said, "Be it known unto you, amen, not by my power, by my holiness doth this man stand here before you whole, but by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen, doth this man stand here before you whole, whom ye took, and by ignorantly you have crucified and slain him, hath God raised the third day," amen, showing all Israel, amen, all of these things, and that, amen, that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So a real preacher, a real prophet, a real deliverer of the word is always going to take second place and humble himself, not lift himself up. John the Baptist said, "I must decrease that he might increase." It is not about us. When someone starts doing that, they have pride, something is wrong. When you got to build yourself up, amen, then you're something's wrong with your ministry. So he takes lead of the service to deliver a word and to direct the people, which is a definition of a prophet. Profound statement. Now please, I am not saying this in any way. And it might cost me association. It might even cost me a position here. I don't know. But I have got to tell you the truth. And let me tell you, there is a whole lot of other people that heard the unfamiliar sound and who saw the systematic approach that has infiltrated Pentecostal churches all over America and even around the world. That's why they're saying they're having these great global revivals, great global spirituality. It's worship at a high level. Some of it's real, some of it ain't. So his first approach. Now listen, if he would have worded these things differently, did something different, it would have been a lot more palatable and digestible. But there was over 4,000 people in that building. And he said,
Everyone. And he hid it multiple times. Why? Because he saw it. Now listen, this is their New Age philosophy. If you see it, and if you speak it, you can have it. Why else? That's the only thing that makes sense why anybody would set themselves up for a dumb fall. But in their mind, they believe it. It is power. And that's how they have risen to high places, because they believe everyone in this room is going to receive the Holy Ghost. Irregardless of their sin status, irregardless of their belief status, it don't matter what you believe. It don't matter who you're sleeping with. It don't matter what you're smoking. It don't matter what you're drinking. Are you with me? I am not trying to be facetious or out of order. Irregardless, everybody in this room, this is what was said, everybody in this room is going to get the Holy Ghost. Well, first off, only God can give the Holy Ghost. Okay? So if that don't throw up a red flag, nothing will. You're smoking something. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. This baptism is unto repentance. That's all we can do, is baptize you for the remission of your sins and wash away your sins, wash away that dirt and filth. That's all we can do, baby. That is it. We're done. Amen. From there on, it's between you and him. And John the Baptist said, there is one coming after me who is mightier than me. He, singular, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Only Jesus can give the Holy Ghost fire. Now, what was it that Jesus said that they would do that would deceive the whole world? Fire. Not nuclear fire, not sparklers, not 4th of July, not burn up trees. Oh, the Hindu doctor. Hindu is a world religion. Look, they can call fire down from heaven, burn up trees. Would that deceive Pentecostals? No. But what fire, amen, are we familiar with? Amen, that only God can call the fire down from heaven. Elijah said, let the God that answers by fire, let him be God. Holy Ghost fire. And when a man stands up in the position of God instead of Christ, this is the same thing that the Pope has written on his crown, vicar. He has vicarious. Anybody familiar with it? I didn't write this down. Vicarious something or other, and it means instead of Christ. And when the Pope stands there in his garb and has his scepter and everything, he claims to be as Christ. And when a man stands on a pulpit, amen, and says, everybody, because I'm standing here and because I'm going to say it and I'm going to see it and I'm going to believe it, and you're going to see it and you're going to believe it with me, everybody in this place, regardless of your sin status, everybody in here is going to get the Holy Ghost. You have crossed the line. And I would have shut him down. I would have grabbed the mic and said, sir, go sit down. We don't allow that in this place. But listen, this is a new gospel. I can show you right now on my phone, if we had the capabilities, but we don't, which
By the grace of the Lord, we will soon get our projector back. I can show you YouTube videos of Pentecostal pastors in America, well known, having revivals in their community park and baptizing all kinds of people right there. And he is telling them, and this is the same philosophy, it is the same systematic approach, and he is telling them, son, you're 9, you're 11, I'm baptizing you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. As soon as I take you down in this water, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. And don't worry about it. He said, you're going to get it again later. A new gospel that omits, listen, let's not make it hard. Come on, this is their philosophy. This is their curriculum. This is their evangelists. Let's not make getting the Holy Ghost hard. Let's make it easy. You know, we complicate this thing. We make it too hard. We make people cry. We don't want to do all that. Let's make it beautiful. Let's make it look good. People don't have to go through all of that. Come on, it's a gift. Do you cry to get a gift? A new gospel. They omit true repentance and inject a fluffy, empty yourself out. Listen, it's not the first time I've heard this. You're all going to stand and we're all going to empty ourselves out. Huh? Because we know the Bible says you have to repent. So we're all going to empty it. That isn't repentance. Where did you ever see, amen, where John the Baptist said repentance is emptying your social mind out, your psychological mind. Empty yourself. Sounds like meditation to me. Empty yourself out. For real? Does anybody else catch any of this but me? Am I on an island up here? Empty yourself out. Now, do you have the ability to empty yourself out? Huh? I could really be carnal right now. No. Can you forgive yourself of your sins? No. Who forgives sins? God? Jesus? But they do it themselves, see? Empty yourself out. Now you're clean because you forgave yourself. You are your own God. Fluffy, empty yourself out. That's a false repentance. Irregardless of their sin status, irregardless who they're sleeping with, irregardless whether they're fornicators, irregardless whether they believe in one God, two gods, three gods, 50 gods, 360 gods, irregardless, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. Now listen, these are exact words. I sat with my phone and I texted these words exactly as he said them. I am not making this up. And you guys can tell Brother Holmes and he'll kick me out. That's fine, but I am going to stand. I have it written, and somebody has a copy of the flash drive. I want a copy of it. That's my defense. I texted the very exact words. You have to see it or visualize it. You have to see it or visualize it. Sound familiar? Desire it. You can't desire. I mean, you can want the Holy Ghost, and you can desire the Holy Ghost, but this is a different kind of desire it. You know, desire it, amen, it can be a fast desire, or a desire can be something that takes a long time. You find the one person you want to marry, it may take you some time. You better desire it, amen, 6 months later. Okay. So this was a systematic approach. You have to see it or visualize it, desire it. He is setting his stage. He is setting his stage for mass spiritual outpouring. Desire it. These are his words. I want somebody to listen to his sermon, and I want you to write down his words verbatim. To back me up. His next words is envision it. Telling you the truth. Envision it. I texted this as he said it. Envision it. There is going to be an apostolic impartation. I can feel it already. Say it. I'm not making this up. I'm going to be changed. He kept saying, impartation, impartation. God is going to give it to us. Just because he said it. He said, I will ask you to lift up your hands. Now we know the scripture, none of this systematic approach is in the Bible. In the Bible, when people were seeking baptism of the Holy Ghost and salvation, it was spontaneous as the Spirit of God gave the utterance, as the Spirit of God lifted up their hands, as the Spirit of God, the anointing conviction of God, amen, moved upon people. Peter didn't even get to preach all his message, amen, at Cornelius' house. Peter went down there and said, oh, I perceive God's no respecter of persons, and in all that, you know, live righteous and call upon God, him receiveth, amen. And so he just starts preaching this amen message about Jesus, and the Holy Ghost just happens without Peter's approval. It did not happen because Peter said, now when I get done saying this, and when I say amen, Cornelius, you are going to get the Holy Ghost. I know this sounds comical, it sounds humorous, but it is not. This is spiritual wickedness in high places. I will ask you to lift up your hands. I will tell you to do this or that. Don't you do anything. Sounds like puppetry to me. Don't you be led of the Holy Ghost. You must do what I say. We're going to empty out all negativity. New Age teaching. We're going to empty out all negativity. Empty ourselves out. Sound familiar? We're going to lift up our voice together, synchronized actions. And when I say, I am the one in charge. Now the Holy Ghost and Jesus was done excommunicated out of the whole deal, and he's not a part of this. I am in charge. When those preachers, which was probably about 60 preachers on the platform, amen, including myself, amen, they were over there laying hands on people, already praying for people because they wanted this to happen. Those people wanted this to happen. There were sick people. There were people with diseases, blind, wheelchairs, and he said they were all going to get healed. And these people wanted it to happen. It is something you want. It is something that you desire. It is something that looks good. And when they were laying hands on people, praying for them, he rebuked them. Am I right? Don't you pray for nobody yet. You preachers, get your hands back. You don't pray for nobody till I say. When I say the preachers are going to do this, now, not till I shout hallelujah. That's when you will lay hands on everyone. Everyone will speak with tongues. Everyone will be healed. That's what he said. And I don't have Alzheimer's yet. Now, let me take you to to Leviticus chapter 9 as we wind this down. 10 minutes, I'll wind this down. We'll be done by 9. I can't believe we actually made it. Did we? No, we didn't. But this is the place where false fire, an actual account of false fire in the Old Testament, Leviticus chapter 9, where God gave the commandments to Moses and Aaron how they were to offer up the sacrifice. Now the ministry is typed and shadowed that we are to present the sacrifice. We are living sacrifices, okay? The New Testament, we understand it. We are living sacrifices presented in the ministry. All we can do is present people to Christ, okay? So in Leviticus chapter 9, and I think I gave you those scriptures, didn't I? Yes, at the bottom. Leviticus chapter 9, okay? So Aaron, do the sacrificing. Do what you're supposed to do. Separate. Amen. Clean. Put everything together properly. Lay it on the altar. And verse 24, and there came a fire out from before the Lord. The sacrifice in the Old Testament, the fire came from the Lord. It does not come from man. Now, what happened was the same spirit was alive and well back then with Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. They went out and they didn't want to do it God's way in Leviticus chapter 10, verse 1 through 2. And it says that Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either them a censer and put fire in it themselves and put incense and offered strange fire before the Lord. And he destroyed them. So Nadab and Abihu, amen, thought they could play God. We cannot play with the Holy Ghost. We cannot play with the fire of God. I don't care who we are, or what our name is, or what DD, double D, PhD degrees that we have. Nobody can play with the fire of God. That is God only. We can go into the New Testament. We can find a certain sorcerer in Acts chapter 8. Simon the sorcerer, he was bewitching people, thought he was some great man. He saw the apostles, amen, Holy Ghost, by laying on of hands. Did the apostles give it to him? No, all they did was lay their hands on him. Amen, and God gave him the Holy Ghost. So he tried to buy this power so he could bewitch the people. So it was the sign. Are you with me? Same thing Jesus said. By signs, lying signs, and wonders. Would, if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. He didn't say by powerful, anointed preaching and conviction of the Holy Ghost and lives really being changed, they would deceive. No, the key emphasis was signs and wonders. So the whole ministry, listen, the whole ministry, amen, is about signs and wonders. It's not about preaching. It's not about doctrine. It's not about real conviction. It's all about signs and wonders and numbers. The same thing that happened in the early 1900s caused people what? To sell their houses, bring in millions, the big prosperity, amen, build mega churches. The signs must match the absolute word of God. Amen. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in outpouring of the Spirit. Amen. But it better be God doing it. Apostolic ministry must be in alignment with the word, and it must not be mixed with New Age teachings, philosophies, or its energy. Strange fire. Remember, it will be so close that it will deceive the woman, the church. Pentecostals all over the world. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We had 700 get the Holy Ghost. Really? You counted them, huh? Genesis chapter 3, the same philosophy, the same deceitful message word that he gave to Eve to deceive her. A higher knowledge. He said to the woman Eve, he said, "You shall not surely die." There ain't no harm in this. What's the harm?
Why are you making a big deal about this? That's what the devil said. You shall not surely die. What are you making such a big deal about this? You know what? Listen. For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, your eyes are going to be open. Revelation, unleashing great power. You shall be as gods, just like God. Impartation, show your energy, knowing good and evil. He offered her a higher knowledge, a greater revelation, a greater impartation, spiritual anointing you have never experienced before, a new outpouring, global worldwide revival. If you stick with us in our gospel, God will bless you and give you huge mega churches and great blessings. Man, gain is godliness. He offered her a greater vision than what God had already established. We don't go above what God already established. We don't change what He has already written. When the woman saw it, it looks good, can't see the harm or the subtle difference, so compelling it even sounds like the true word of God. John chapter 16, verse 1 through 2, as I close, these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of their synagogues, and a time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God's service. How can people operate and do things like this? Because they are blind. They think they are doing the will of God. But the real worship, and as I laid it all out there for you, when the man stands instead of Christ and he starts orchestrating everything, and this is going to happen at the sound and authority of my word, visualize it, see it, you are under the power of satanic forces. And the worship is shifted from the true Christ to the Antichrist. Let's stand.